It is the best 5 minutes of the day. Welcome to Jason Cans. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Friday the 13th for the first time in a while, so it always that raises the superstition question. How are you with that?
Yeah. You know, I don't think of myself as superstitious. One thing I will say is that working in healthcare, and my wife would say this from when she worked in childcare as well, is that people seem to be a little bit more out of sorts when there's a full moon or when it's Friday the 13th or when the two seem to coincide. And so I don't know if that makes me superstitious or not. I think my awareness is heightened on those days. So I don't know. How about you?
I'm not superstitious, yeah. But then, you'll have people who say they're not, and then they're like, but the Packers always win when I wear this shirt or sit in this chair or whatever, So there's plenty of examples of that, and it's kind of interesting sometimes. But I don't know.
I was convinced for a long time that if I watched a game with somebody, their team would lose, and it certainly seemed like that was the case.
So. Oh, okay, well, I'm looking at here something they talk about 13... silly superstitions, and it started with beginner's luck. And so, anyhow, that's just something to be aware of here on a Friday the 13th. But,
I think you're right, as people do that. One of the guys I played football with in high school was convinced that we would lose if he washed his undershirt, and so he never washed his undershirt for football, and you could smell it through the whole school.
That's not
terrible.
Good.
All right.
Very good. Well, we've got to work our way through Philippians 1:27. We didn't even get to this yesterday. It was so good on Wednesday. Yeah. So give me the verse again, and then we'll kind of work our way through your commentary.
Sure. So above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news.
Now let me just ask you before I even get to the commentary. I mean, you must live as citizens of heaven. So shouldn't love be the first characteristic of a citizen of heaven?
I would think so. I believe that's the case, is that love should be our calling card.
It's the first fruit of the nine. It's the greatest gift. You got 1 Corinthians 13 sandwiched in there, as Paul's talking about gifts in 1 Corinthians 13. So, all right, here's your commentary. Let your life reflect the beautiful truth of the gospel. What a great line that is. Right there. I mean, just comment on that.
Well, again, I think that the good news that Christ came into this world to redeem and restore and love well, if we've been given that gift, which we have, how do we live in such a way that it reflects that? I think there's so much animosity, so much fighting, and often Christians seem to be right in the middle of that rather than reflecting the beauty of love. And I think that's something we're called to.
Yeah. You go on and say, live in such a way that both Christians and non-Christians alike may witness your life and know that my spirit has changed you. I'm getting ready to share my testimony at the Valleybrook Church Men's Breakfast tomorrow. First time in a while I've done that. And as I think about it, I think the closing verses I wanted to share is about that mark of the Christian, right? I mean, our love for one another is how the world will know we're his disciples. But I like how you say that both Christians and non-Christians may see that in our lives.
Well, sometimes, I've seen this with some Christians where they seem to take pride in being discarded or attacked by non-Christians.
Uh-huh. Okay.
As though, and it's like sometimes the message is offensive. But sometimes we are.
Yeah.
And, I think it's important to recognize that how we show up, we want to be a witness to love.
Mm-hmm. You have another great line here. Pursue wholeness in your relationships. As you spend time with others, seek agreement about my spirit's work within and between you.
Mm.
He is always speaking, only you need to listen.
Yeah.
Your faith in me grows best in a community because I have created you for relationships. But let's go back. Let's close it out with that. What does that mean to pursue wholeness in your relationships?
Oh, man. That's, you know, it's one of those things you put on paper and then say, huh, I wonder what that meant. But, you know, I'm really committed to the idea of wholeness. And I think wholeness in relationships, and I've seen this in my relationship with you, I think, is that we're willing to dive deep, you know, and I think we talk about what's going on in one another's lives. And in those times when conflict has arisen, we've been able to tackle that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so for me, I think that's part of that idea of living in wholeness in relationships is letting one whole person meet another whole person.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the ultimate goal. And we're going to fall short of that, I think, before heaven. But I think we strive for that.
Absolutely. Hey, I invite you to that breakfast tomorrow. If you can't make it, I totally understand. But just the invite is there. I love you and appreciate you and look forward to seeing you soon. There we go.
Sounds good. Likewise.
All right. Our buddy Jason Kanz, WWIB. Our promise of the day today comes from Psalm 23, verse 2. I will give you rest in green pastures and lead you to still waters. Oh, yeah. I will give you rest in green pastures and lead you to still waters. And it's short enough, I'm going to read it here. Leading into Matt Maher's new song, The Lord's Prayer. Barry Adams writes, Psalm 23 is one of my most favorite psalms. It is for so many, including my wife. In this one chapter, King David draws from his experience of being a shepherd boy to build an analogy of the Lord's shepherding heart towards us. In John 10:11, Jesus clearly makes the connection to Psalm 23 by telling us that he's the great shepherd who wholeheartedly gives his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Everything that a shepherd does is for the benefit of the sheep. In today's promise, we read how David writes that the Lord makes him lie down in green pastures and he leads him beside still waters. In the hustle and bustle of life, we all need to find rest in green pastures. It's interesting to note that David says that the Lord makes him lie down in green pastures. Maybe there are times in our lives where the Lord will make us rest, even if we don't think we need it. Finally, may the great shepherd of the sheep give you the rest that you need today in his rich green pastures, and may he lead you to still waters to find refreshment so that you can continue your journey under his watchful care.
Yes, this is John Field. I'm in the ICU at the Marshfield Hospital Clinic, and they got terrific doctors here, terrific nurses. I just had surgery today. But I want to thank you for playing, like I always do, Phillips, Craig, and Dean song. God bless you and have a good evening.
You had a late night doing high school hoops, McDonald Fall Creek, on our sister station.
Yeah, two state-ranked teams, top-ranked team in McDonald in D5, top-10-ranked team in D4 in Fall Creek. Fall Creek gets the win in a thrilling game, 80-76. And tonight, you'll have sports on our sister station, WOGO. Eau Claire Memorial visits Chi High.
I was getting ready to go to bed all snug as a bug in a rug in my all my MyPillow products with my bedding. And you're going live on the radio. I'm like, he's going to be tired tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
All right. A Friday morning, the WIB Wake Up Show. Don't forget, we find some humor in the headlines next half hour and best of the week right around 8:45 to 8:50. But right now, Caleb, the seven cities you must visit before you die. What's all this talk about dying? Yesterday we talked about things not on your bucket list.
Yeah, like your anti-bucket list. Yeah, so seven cities to visit before you die, starting with number seven, Istanbul, Turkey.
Yeah, and let's just put this in perspective. 50 travel journalists were asked to name a city they think everyone should visit before they die. Istanbul is number seven. Number six is Tokyo, Japan.
Okay, how about Rio de Janeiro, Brazil? What? I think the Olympics were there.
I don't think either of us have been to any of these cities, right?
No.
Number four is Cape Town, South Africa.
I do believe I have been to number three briefly when I was younger. The seven cities you must visit before you die, so I only have six left. New York City,
how
Big
old
Apple.
Were you?
Seven, something like that. Nope.
Okay.
All right. I mean, now, after I grew up, then they went back and saw a Broadway show and all this stuff, too, so.
This crazy thing, see, where I've been to upstate New York, part of my testimony, which I'm giving tomorrow at a church men's breakfast in downtown Eau Claire, I mean, was in Elmira, New York, but, I mean, not New York City, not the Big Apple. Number two is Rome, Italy.
I'd go there.
Yeah.
And finally, number one, seven cities you must visit before you die, according to 50 travel journalists. Paris, France.
Okay, number one, top of the list, huh?
Okay, Eiffel Tower. I don't know. I don't see London on there anywhere.
I mean, I know.
I'd be interested in going there. I mean, there's a lot of places that I would like to travel at some point. Probably won't, but, you know.
Here's the thing. My world-traveling 19-year-old daughter, Grace, she's been to London. She'll probably check off more of these before me and all over the place, right? Norway, Israel, Tanzania.
That's an impressive globetrotting that she's done.
Before 20, I'll say, yeah.
Well, it's that time of week here on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB, where we are family. Finally, Friday, Caleb and Havel with you. And this is kind of our tradition right around this time, quarter before 8 on Friday mornings, where we get you caught up because we know you like to stay informed. So it's everything that maybe you missed in the past week or so, news, sports, politics, pop culture. We do the hard work, the labor of aggregating all of that for you. And then we bring it to you in condensed form because we respect your time so much. We call it headlines. And here we go.
Caleb, researchers now say stress, yes, stress may be the main cause of gaining weight.
It's true. People get stressed out by how tough it is to open that third bag of Doritos.
Isn't that the truth?
Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department has adopted the nation of Turkey's new preferred spelling for the name of their country, T-U-R-K-I-Y-E.
That's so exciting. I'm heading to the DMV right after the show to get it on my license plate.
You'll be waiting in line a while.
The Christmas credit card bills are beginning to arrive.
I just saw a mail truck go by with a military escort.
Yikes.
Researchers in Italy found that medicine works better if the doctor says positive things about it before handing over the prescription.
Researchers also found that the number one positive thing a doctor can say about medication is it's covered by insurance.
Right.
Republicans in New York say the newly elected George Santos needs to immediately resign, accusing him of running a campaign of deceit and lies.
I reached out to Santos's office for comment, but his spokesperson told me he was actually on a plane flying back to D.C. after solving world hunger, rescuing a few puppies, and winning a seventh Golden Globe.
That's just not true.
According to a study, men are discriminated against in the workplace and prevented from climbing the corporate ladder if they're too good looking.
Tell me something I don't know.
Just look in a mirror.
And finally, the flu is pretty bad this year.
Even so, it's still more popular than Congress.
Anything is.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. It's 20 past 8, 22 degrees, WWIB. It's the WIB Wake Up Show, and we've got a new baby in our household, and this is something that my wife has told me, and probably many expectant mothers have said for a long time. It's baby brain, right? It's where there's kind of a fog. Everything is just a little bit more difficult. Maybe you're having a shorter attention span, forgetting things, reduced cognitive function generally during pregnancy. They call it baby brain. Is it real? Finds out that all those mothers, they weren't wrong. It is absolutely a real thing. And research now confirms that a study recently looked at, again, so-called baby brain, combined data from 20 other studies as well, and found the relationship between pregnancy and brain changes is a very real thing. Results showed that when pregnant women are compared to non-pregnant women, they perform much worse on tasks measuring memory and executive functioning. Executive functioning includes attention, inhibition, decision-making, and planning. And this difference is most pronounced during the third trimester. So the takeaway from that, I think, is, for one thing, gentlemen, when your wife is pregnant, believe her, believe what she says, care, and you know what? Maybe just double check a few things around the house to make sure there's nothing odd in the freezer or on the stovetop. Baby brain, very real.
Well, the WIB Wake Up Show, the best of the week. We've boiled it down to 5 minutes. Here we go.
Well, I was at the Y on Saturday morning with Cooper. It was our first day of Little Dribblers basketball.
So
he just had a fantastic time with that. And thank you to some of the McDonald boys varsity players. And then Coach Cooper, the varsity coach for the McDonald girls, who run that kind of a little camp, getting some of the basics of basketball. So Cooper told me afterward, it may have had something to do with the Quick Trip cinnamon rolls we picked up afterward. But he said it was the best day ever.
Oh, so much to talk about. It's just like every deli meat in the world to try to pack in the sandwich of this 5 minutes. That is my dilemma. That is my problem. That is our challenge, Jason Cairns. Good morning.
Good morning. But, you know, a sandwich with every deli meat might actually be pretty good.
One of the favorite television shows of my youth. First went on ABC on this day in 1966.
Yes.
Classic.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
What's the word people always use to describe it?
Oh,
campy. They always say it's campy. But it was so fun, and I shared it
was.
With my kids in their youth. I mean, the kapow and the bang.
Adam West is my hero.
Who was?
Adam West,
oh, yeah.
Along with the original Star Trek as well. Because, again...
The dad bod.
The dad bod. You can wear tights and be in a dad bod. I'm not going to wear the tights, but to be like, hey, I can still be an action hero,
oh, yeah.
Even if I've got a few extra pounds.
I could still enjoy
Thanks,
watching
gentlemen.
That show. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin. Cesar Romero as the Joker. I mean, it was just really, really good.
It was a golden age of television.
So Avenue Orchard has a testing kitchen right by us in downtown Eau Claire with One Source Imaging. And they have these delicious new hot chocolate chip marshmallow cookies. They were warm out of the oven just like Mom used to make. And they had us test them. Yes, I will. It was so good yesterday. And our mail carrier arrived for the business just at that time. What a greeting he got. Would you like to have test this cookie? It's hard to believe this, but he tells me he does not know how things turned out last night. On the line with us this morning is Drew Frelick from Detroit, Michigan. Drew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. It was not easy to insulate myself from this knowledge. I texted a bunch of people. I said no texts. I've gone deep into the bubble. I don't know the outcome of the Seahawks game. I literally went into a bunker yesterday and hid from football. So this is very exciting.
All to just be for this segment. You did it all for this segment.
Oh, listen, I am dedicated to the WIB wake-up show. I live for this. And I feel right now, you know, it's like I'm kind of excited, but it's also like I feel like you're the surgeon coming out of the operating room to tell me whether or not the Lions made it.
Yes. For starters, the Seattle game was played earlier, and they needed overtime, but they did beat the Rams.
Ah.
So that meant that the Lions really didn't have anything to play for.
Here's a blitz. Can Rodgers beat it? Big ball downfield, and it is intercepted by Kirby Joseph. Joseph out of bounds around the 45, and the Packers are in major trouble.
And they never got the ball back, and they lost to your Lions 20-16. Drew Frelick, your reaction?
Wow, there we go. Oh, that's wonderful news.
You were going to say that's sweet.
It feels good, you know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has given us a lot of heartache over the years.
What bothers you?
It bothers me.
Referring to their football team as we. Now, I don't know, but when I listen to Vikings radio, if I listen to their broadcast, it during the game, and there's continual references to we, it does.
It bothers me.
It bothers me, too. Now, then I go, do I do that? Do I do it to that extent with the Packers?
I know I do. Not all the time. Yeah. Not all the time, but I know I do. And I'm sure my wife could tell you that I'll say, you know, well, what we need is, a backup, safety.
It's just, I don't know. I just be honest, it doesn't bother me in that sense because I understand
that's
that.
That's our Packers bias there.
All right, good luck to the Vikings in the playoffs. Anyhow.
I can't say that. You're a better man than I am. I mean, they had a fantastic regular season, so we'll see. And I will say, brother in the Lord, Kirk Cousins, their quarterback, seems to be just a great man. So
absolutely.
I still hope they lose.
Yes, this is John Fields. In the ICU at the Marshfield Hospital Clinic, and they got terrific doctors here, terrific nurses. I just had surgery today. But I want to thank you for playing, like I always do, Phillips, Craig, and Dean song. God bless you and have a good inning.
And that shows it right there, huh? We are family.
The best of the week.